Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky, or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Right by a fireplace, we shed our first embrace, and then inside my heart, I felt a fire start. It's gonna snow outside, the weather will be cold, but I'm gonna be warm home this winter. Each time your lips touch mine, they taste like
we're back at the races, 20 plus into hour three. Gabrielle Chimley, I believe, from a couple of years ago, a remake of a Connie Landers 60s winter setting song, and I love that. Warm this winter, and certainly Rich Eng is going to be warm this winter because he lives in Vegas. So he's warm every winter, but he can appreciate those of us that are still in the Northeast because he's a Connecticut guy, New England, Southern New England, very Southern New England when you grow up in Stamford. Rich, Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much, Steve. And yeah, I've shoveled more than my share of snow. So I feel for when I see the blizzards coming through and the storms and that kind of stuff. But out here, I think in the 20-plus years I've been out here, I can only think of one real blizzard where we had about 12 inches of snow. And it came in the evening, Steve, and it actually really just blanketed the city. But in typical Las Vegas fashion, by the time the morning, the temperatures were in the 40s and 50s, and everything just melted away. But it set up a winter wonderland, at least for the evening when the snow was coming down. It was a once in a long time experience. So we did see it once.
I would never have even thought that that it was even possible. Although I will say that in these visits the last 4 or 5 years in February for the NHC, there's been a couple of, in fact, this past year, the 2018, it was cold as could be, in fact, as we went, out the few times you do go outdoors when you're in Vegas, but it was cold, surprisingly cold, not, just cold for Vegas. I recall that from February. So I know
it'll get freezing because sometimes folks out here they should at this time of year turn off the sprinklers and watering their vegetation. But every once in a while the temperatures will get in the morning when you wake up at like in the 20s, and if people have their sprinkler systems on, they actually will create icy situations on the sidewalks and on the roads. And believe it or not, it's actually gotten cold enough where people do have their pipes burst. So, it happens. You got to be careful. But people have had their pipes burst sometimes if they don't watch it.
Pretty funny. Well, meanwhile, we are looking forward to some year-end conversation with you and some of your summarization of the year. I started out the show, Rich, by hitting a few of the you know, today's headlines when we think about the year. And certainly, you know, for you, beyond what happened on the Oval, the sports betting story is undoubtedly the one that is, you know, most influential in your environment.
Well, it's a pretty exciting time, and, you know, as more and more states dip their toe in the water and set up shop for legal sports betting, it's really an exciting time. And I just saw a headline last night. I haven't had a chance to really follow up on the reading of it, but I saw a headline before I went to sleep. I guess a couple of U.S. senators, Chuck Schumer and I guess it was Orrin Hatch, are going to try to file a bill to create federal intervention and oversight for legal sports gambling. And I know I put something on Twitter saying that that would be, in my mind, in my humble opinion, Steve, a major mistake. Because when the federal government gets involved in something that could be that big and that far-reaching as far as coast to coast, invariably it will kind of muddy the waters, maybe even create a situation where it'll prevent the infant industry from actually being successful. And I've written about this topic more than once in my columns for America's Best Racing website. You know, the margins for making profit on sports betting are very, very narrow, very slim. And so, you know, a scenario where, like, the leagues, whether it's the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, when they all ask for a cut, I mean, that has to come out of somewheres. You know, there was the issue of integrity fees. You know, that's what they were calling it, integrity fees. And if the federal government gets involved, you know, they'll want their slice too. And so, you know, the margins for sports betting are so slim that it could create a pizza pie where there's just not enough slices to go around. And if you don't make the odds favorable, and favorable in a sense comparable to what we offer here in Las Vegas, well, then and people, instead of, you know, gambling legally, are going to go back to offshore. They're going to go back to the, you know, Guido at the pizza parlor or whatever, you know, and get true odds. So it's really a tricky scenario, and I understand what the federal government wants to do to make sure everything's on the up and up, but I think it's a states' rights issue, in my humble opinion, Steve, and it should be controlled by the states and all the costs and, you know, the operation controlled in that manner.
I agreed, and this won't, from everything I saw late yesterday when that bubbled to the surface, it doesn't expect to go anywhere. Why can't Orrin Hatch just disappear and just retire and him and take Paul Ryan with you and just fade into obscurity, because their quote unquote legacies are just awful, and the Hatch is just a terrible, ridiculous individual that in fact held this up for years. Revolting.
Yeah, without talking about politics, because that usually creates uproar. I get the feeling you and I are on parallel lines.
Yeah, to say the least. Yeah, absolutely. Well, the amount of conversation. I didn't get a chance to talk to you last week in the shadow of the symposium, where sports betting, you know, sports betting has kind of dominated, these kinds of conclaves and discussion. And you know, one of the things that we personally, I was involved and moderated the panel to discuss the core business from our vantage point in racing, Rich, there's nothing that's going to be more important than understanding, you know, our customer base, the player base, and mm-hmm. catering to them. I mean, the reality is there's going to be certainly a period as sports betting, you know, flexes its muscle from an interest and accessibility perspective. There's going to be people that are going to gravitate there. I mean, my hope is that there's there's the opportunity for the industry to showcase what we have as a gambling game, and that people that are going to get into a habit and practice of betting will give the game a look. I mean, if you're going to spend time researching and doing work and then, you know, trying to sports bet, my hope is that we have a more attractive, you know, potential result to offer new players, because the people that think that sports betting, that they're going to make a fortune betting sports, they're in for a real surprise. I mean, it's not just because you're sitting back and you think, oh, I've picked 9 of 14 games today. That's not how it works when you're putting money on the line. And we should be taking real careful look at what we're offering and understand that we have to do better.
You know, what you say is absolutely true. You know, like I have read press releases where people on the sports side are publicizing someone hitting like a $50 parlay and cashing for $50,000. Well, that is the same mentality as horse racing, promoting like a single winner of a pick six and, you know, taking down, you know, 750,000 or whatever. Those are lightning bolts out of the sky. In reality, most players in sports are just grinding to try to make a profit. And, in fact, a lot of them don't even bet parlays unless it's on a smaller version, like 2 and 3 team parlays. So, you know, when you see a story like that, it's kind of a, it really is a strange sort of marketing, because, you know, the professional gamblers that I know in this market, you know, they're betting the 11 to 10. They're trying maybe to find proposition bets where the bookmaker might have made a small error in the odds, and there's something in their favor. You know, for example, when the Super Bowl comes up in a couple of months, Steve, one of the most popular things to do out here is to get those page after page after page of the Super Bowl props, and professional gamblers have gone from sneering at those to actually, you know, waiting in line for them to first come out, pouring through the literally scores of proposition bets, looking at the odds, analyzing the statistics, and then they get back in line and they actually hammer those things. And those have turned into a profit center for a lot of professional gamblers, is the prop bets on the Super Bowl. So that's just one example of how, you know, the game has changed a little bit. But, one thing I noticed was that I can't remember who it was, but they dug up a column that I wrote in January of last year where I made a comparison of what racing maybe should be thinking about doing to actually be comparable to the sports gambling. And, you know, one of the simple things to analyze, Steve, is the math and the fact that when I talked about 11 to 10 on a straight bet, it's not a 10% hold. What it is, it's a 5% hold, because only the loser pays the vig. And, you know, when you compare that percentage to the takeout in the horse racing, which is a blended rate of around 20%, the horse racing model is more expensive for the player to play. You know, I know that the opportunities of some of these wagers, you know, pick fours, pick fives, things like that, enable the player to bet a little bit of money to win a lot, and that's really a big plus. You know, I'm not a pick six player unless maybe we get into the carryover or must payout days, you know, where a large amount of carryover money has to be paid out. But, I don't mind grinding in pick fours and even in doubles and exactas. But, you know, the thing I wrote about was I thought racing should try to make a comparable betting menu, at least that was close to that 5% take. And the one thing I suggested, that I really thought that they should look at the win, place, and show model and lower that down to maybe 10%, something that the bet takers might be able to live with, you know, if they accept a little less. But it's something that the bettors would look at and say, well, you know, I got a shot maybe to even actually cash more tickets and make some money. Because if you could lower the wind price and choke from, say, if it's 18, 16, 15% in some of these states, knock it down to 10, it's actually on a somewhat competitive nature with the 11 to 10 for the straight play. So, you know, I hope I'm making sense to some of your listeners, but
sure.
It's the mathematics of these things that gamblers look at. So, you know, when you see the race and sports books side by side here in Vegas, quite frankly, it's more, you know, the way the odds are set up, you see more horse players betting sports and sports betting horse players, but we would love to have the two-way traffic. You know, I know exactly what you're saying, and that's what racetracks should be thinking about. They want to be able to host the sports bets, but they also want those sports bettors to dabble in and maybe become full-time horse players, too. And to do that, you have to offer a product that makes financial sense for them.
Yep, exactly. And simultaneously, we should be working, doubling down on taking care of the existing player base, and you know, to show them, you know, the appreciation for, you know, for what they, you know, have been contributing to, you know, the game and what they contribute. I mean, it's that part of it, you know, taking care of your existing business, you know, should always be a focus. Rich, I'm going to get Hammer in to close out the not just the day and the week, but the broadcast season. Some final wishes for everybody for the coming year and your closeout for 2018.
Well, I have always been one of those people who looks at the glasses half full, and I certainly always do that with horse racing. So when I see negative, you know, comments on social media, usually I try to turn the glass upside down, Steve, because I love the sport so much, and I think people like yourself and Hammer, we love horse racing, and we love the gambling aspects of it, too. It's the engine that makes the world go around for us, and, you know, the great horses, and so I wish everybody, you know, best of luck with their gambling for 2019, and certainly on the horse racing front, we had a spectacular season with the, you know, Justify winning the Triple Crown and doing it in a manner that was just so incredible. I don't know if we'll ever see it again. We're an unraised three-year-old in February. It turns out to win the Triple Crown, that's just such a compact schedule. I don't know if that'll ever happen again. Congratulations to Mr. Baffert and all his team over there. But I really hope that we can you know, get this model, this horse racing model, moving in a positive manner. Sports betting is something we can attach ourselves onto, but there's a lot of other areas that we can improve too. So best of luck to everybody, Steve, and thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be on the show for all these years, and make sure you say hello to Hammer for me when he comes on afterwards.
Absolutely, and I'm hoping he's going to come visit in Vegas and spend part of NHC with us as well when we get to February. So I will, I mean, obviously I'll talk to you before then, but we'll look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas for the NHC. And Rich's visits brought to you by Gaming Today. You can go to GamingToday.com and make sure you're following Gaming Today News on line on Twitter. And Rich Eng for Pro Pick. And, of course, with Santa Anita starting next Wednesday, you can get Rich's opinion at racedaylasvegas.com. And we'll wish Rich luck. We'll talk Santa Anita with him when we visit in 2 weeks. We're going to stay right here, and we've only got 20 minutes to close out not just the week but the year. And Rick Hammerly joins us as our last regular, because we can't be together tomorrow. So a chance for Hammer to visit before we call it a year. Rick, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Steve. I'm glad you gave me a half-hour warning. I thought it was tomorrow, but no problem. We're here. I'm alive.
Exactly. I got a funny. You'll appreciate this. I've gotten a handful of emails that you know, people saying, "Oh, you know, I haven't had a chance to listen. Has Rick announced the calendar giveaway?" And I want to write back to them and say, "Are you following racing at all? I mean, what?" A little asleep at the switch, I think, some people out there.
Yeah, I've had a few emails and as well. And, you know, I as crazy as it sounds, I really feel bad about not being able to get those calendars out this year. And I actually thought about, you know, maybe I'll go check. And probably not a good time. But you know what? I will promise this. Next year, however things are going, whatever's going on, I will try and go over and try and work this out. This was not a good time to try and finagle, you know, 500, 600, 700, 800 calendars away from them. But I appreciate that. I had to chuckle like you did. Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, everything's great. Hey, can you send me a calendar?
Well, for those that don't even realize, I mean, we said it every year for years, baby. But you know, you would sit down and with with the family, and you guys wrote out the addresses. I mean, this was like a family project. It wasn't something that was being done, you know, by elves in the basement at the racetrack.
Oh no, we addressed them, and it's funny because we would do that and keep track of all the different states where they came, and you know, we got up to, I think one year we got to like 38 states from people, which you know, should make you feel good because your voice is heard loud and clear all over the airwaves everywhere. So once again, I do apologize for that. Nothing beyond my control, but we'll try and get that done next year regardless. And anyway, I have to, you know, it's going to come on last week, but something came up with my dad, and he's doing a little bit better here and there. And but I would thank people for commenting on that. But 3 weeks ago, we were talking, and I find it rather ironic because we were talking about Michael Rona's departure, and I was giving him the old, these things happen in this business and a lot of business. And literally 10 minutes later, I got the phone call to come down and walk down the hall. And lo and behold, I'm no longer working at Santa Anita. So, as I look back, you know, we live in California here, and I kind of equate it to kind of a natural phenomenon that may or may not show up here, earthquakes. And you know they're coming, but you just don't know when. So I had my earthquake 3 weeks ago. And I'll tell you, it's a rough thing to go through. I've never been fired or let go. Fired's a bad term. Fired seems to imply that, you know, you did something wrong. So I prefer to say I was let go, which I was. And kind of a weird feeling. It's more of a blow to the ego than anything else. Face it, when you do what I do, you got to have a little bit of an ego because you have to, you know, think that what you're doing is the right thing all the time. And so, you know, I didn't have to get talked off the ledge or anything, but thanks to a lot of well-wishers and good friends, they, you know, was able to kind of talk through it. But, you know, and I finally realized, you know, sometimes I was there 18 years. Sometimes it's just time to move on. And, you know, 18 years is a long time to work at a great place like Santa Anita. I mean, I had a good run and met a lot of good people. And, I mean, I had 12 bosses in 18 years. So, Joe DiMaggio's got a record, but I don't know if that one's ever going to be beat. Work for 12 people at the same place. I do kid around about that. But you know what? I felt, you know, everything was left. We went out in good terms. And, like I said, sometimes it's just time to move on. And I kind of realize that now. And, but I'm happy. I'm proud of what we got done. I mean, you know, a lot of good racing. You know, I was there for 7 Breeders' Cups, and you know, it's horse racing, but it's a people business. And I met tons and tons of people who I'll, you know, continue to deal with and talk to and everything like that. So you know, when it's all said and done, like I said, I feel pretty good about everything. And, you know, this time of year, it's kind of fun to be around. I had no excuses not to put the Christmas lights up this year. That I can say. So it's all good. I'm feeling pretty good. And I've been doing a lot of hiking and running. And so when I'm ready to come back after the first of the year, I'm going to be fresh and fit and ready to roll. But, nice. So I and so basically here I'm gonna use your show. I'm gonna be available after the first of the year. I don't even know what I want to do. I haven't given it that much thought, but I'd like to obviously stay in racing at some bit, and you know, so anyone out there has got some interesting looking for something, I can do a lot of things in or out. So find me, look me up, I'll be ready. Yep.
easy to reach. Now, it's funny because I obviously the, you know, that period, the majority of that period overlaps with, you know, with the show and you know, the period we've been on, and we'll be starting year 14. And there were plenty of times, Rick, what's kind of unusual or people might not realize, there's been any number of uncertainties, and you talk about all the different, you know, management teams that have cycled through, and there, I think back to some conversations we had where you were like, "Hey, I have no idea how I might not be here next week." I mean, well, that could have been 2009, 2007, 2012. I mean, it's been volatile.
Absolutely. I mean, and then literally, I mean, because you try to equate to people and I say, what do you do? And, you know, how does that work? You know, I kind of equated to like a head coach in a football deal where literally, okay, here comes the new ownership. I mean, all those times, every 12 of those times, I would come home and tell Gina, new boss today, I might be done. I mean, and kind of half kidding, but half, you know, so we'll see what happens. And, you know, but, you know, look, I didn't have time to worry about who it was or what it was. You know, when you do what I do, you just have to, you got to keep rolling. So I did what I thought was best everybody. I didn't adjust. I'm not a big ass kisser, so to speak. So it didn't really matter. I just had a job to do. And, you know, I've worked the crew that I've been working with and have worked with over the years. You know, you just buckle up and get it done, and if something happens, can't worry about it. And you see a lot of people as you go through life and talk to them and see them, and there's people that work and their only job is to keep their job, so they're really that's a very unproductive way to go through life or anything. I, you know, if you have that fear and that's all you're doing and you're doing things just to cool, please the boss or make yourself look good, you know what? That's not the way to go. So that's one thing I'm proud of. I never did that. I, you know, we went in. We had a job to do. We did what we thought was best, and you move on. And if it's not good enough, then that's the way it goes. So, like I said, I don't wish this experience on anyone. It's quite a, you know, like I said, it's more of an ego thing than anything else in my situation. And then you get over it, and you have some people. Good friends. Like, well, it was interesting. A lot of listeners chimed in on Twitter or found my email address or made some comments. And, you know, you find out, I guess, well, I've been in the business for a long time, so you find out who you really know. And, you know, just dozens and scores of calls from across the country, well-wishers and, you know, people. I did get to the point, though, that if another person tells me everything's going to be all right, that was, you know... say, all right, you're going to give me a job, then what's going on? But no, I do really appreciate that. It is, so like I said, I feel great. Actually, believe it or not, right now I'm in Las Vegas. Gina and I are in Las Vegas.
Nice.
Well, yeah, we came out for a little quick run. We got her parents had a condo here that we still keep, and it's in between rentals, so we're kind of checking on that and quick run and go back, but you know, get a chance to kind of get out. And now you kind of blew it because Rich Ng's going to know I'm here, and I was going to come by and see him, but we don't have time. So now Rich, now when I come back, I'll come and see you.
We're going to get you to come to NHC. You always threatened to come to NHC. That now you got a real opportunity this year, next year to come.
Well,
to.
Well, it's funny now. I'm getting calls from, you know, friends in the real world that are saying, hey, you want to come and play golf? What about next Saturday? And I'm going, I'm in, baby. This is this is the life. Weekend, you know, no weekend. This is great. No, but I'll be, like I said, I'll be ready to get back. I'm driving Gina crazy being around the house too much. So yeah, I'll be ready to come back. But like I said, not much else to say except you know, we'll keep on rolling, and I'm still going to be involved with the game and all that, and the show. Tell you what, I mean, the show. You think back, you know, you kind of think of going over my resume and, you know, updating that, which I hadn't updated that since 2002. It's pretty funny. you can believe that. As I start writing stuff, I say, you know, it's the big show, but on the show, it's just, geez, been on this show before you. Over 14 years. So it's like 600, 650, 700 appearances, and you kind of go, whoa, that's pretty wild. So, you know, we'll keep some of that going, and, you know, life will change a little bit, but you know what? It's going to be a new adventure, whatever it is, and it's all going to be good.
Hammer, last thought about 2018 overall, and, of course, we pretty much tracked the Justify story from, you know, from Clocker's Corner, literally from the week. We noted his debut, but then we were on hand for, you know, the next for the allowance start, big cap week, and then the Santa Anita Derby, and I mean, pretty much, you know, came right from you and Jay.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, it's a good feeling. You know, I've considered my job to get the, you know, to get the best horses, give them the best races, and show the people what we got out here in California, and you know, to end the Santa Anita deal with a Triple Crown winner coming out of our races that you know, we felt that we were able to help move along, Justify, right out in front of us, like you said. I mean, I still remember going to the paddock before he even started on that first day, and, you know, taking a picture, which I still have, with Drayden Van Dyke on Justify, and who knew? You know, Triple Crown winner. And then on the other hand, you know, it was great to see John Sadler do what he did, finally, you know, crack that egg with the Breeders' Cup, but what a way he did it with Accelerate. And, you know, so, and, you know, when you put the races, and it's not a big deal, but, you know, planning races, putting them where they are, deciding whether to use them or not, or things like that. It was, so I feel good that, you know what, on the, we did the best we could. We showed the people the best horses. Well, we'll find out in the world, you know, during this last year. So I'm still able to vote. I talked to Jim Glucks, and I said, can I still vote? And he said, oh, yeah.
Of course you still can vote.
Well, of course. Hey, you never know. You never
of course.
Know. So yeah, very proud of it. You know, and we had a bunch of, I think we had 5 Breeders' Cup winners come out of there. So, you know, that's what we're supposed to do, show the best horses off, and I think we got a chance to do it. So,
nice.
Yeah, good year to go out on, and like I said, it's the beginning of a new adventure.
Well, Hammer, have a wonderful Christmas. We'll talk, probably talk to you during the vacation period, and we'll talk in 2 weeks.
We'll talk in 2 weeks. I wanted to tell everybody to thank you, Steve, personally, for, you know, being in touch during this crazy time and following me through, and you're a good friend, and all the best to you, and thanks to all the listeners, and everybody have a great holiday, and we'll speak next year.
Exactly. Hammer, thanks, buddy. Away they go. Rick Hammerly, folks, on Twitter, and we'll talk to Rick, and he'll be, don't forget what a good handicapper Rick is. So while there's this intermezzo career-wise, he can pick some winners for everybody, and we picked a winner several years ago when the opportunity for a new engineer and producer arose, and Casey and I we don't get to spend enough time together in person when I'm down in Florida, but nothing happens these mornings without KCG. And Case,
hey Steve, I'm here.
There you go. As our tradition to close out another year, and to say thanks, and to you and the girls, a merry, merry Christmas. And thanks for everything. Just another brilliant job. What you do is exactly equal to what I do.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate it. And I, you know, every year that we do this, I'm, you know, continually amazed by what we're able to do. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it's really just the two of us doing this. And as I think about it, this will be my 11th year being your audio engineer, producer, kind of everything behind the scenes. And I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but the way I got the job was I answered an ad in Craigslist that said audio expert required. And I thought to myself, I'm an audio expert. And lo and behold, it was at the races with Steve Beck. And as I said, going into my 11th year, and I couldn't be happier with what we do.
Well, just, you know, we try to make this show sound good, and we do some fun things together, and everybody that listens, I hear constantly, you know, and also from the regulars that talk to you every week, the same way they talk to me, how much they enjoy, you know, being a part of this, and we love it, and I just can't say thank you enough, and we look forward to another tremendous year. And I missed you last winter, but I'll try to get down a couple of times here in the next few months.
Sounds good. Always look forward to having you in studio.
KCG, everybody, and Uptown KC, when you want to reach out to Kay on Twitter. And of course, if you're in need of production, you know, KC's got he's built a beautiful facility there in Margate, and he can make you a star. So take advantage of that. Again, just thanks to everybody, and I wish everyone a wonderfully Merry Christmas and the happiest and healthiest of New Year's. And we will be with you starting Wednesday, right? Wednesday, is it Wednesday? Wednesday, the 2nd. And we'll send you out into the race day, including this really fun pick six. I put up the thoughts on the website. We'll give you a best of between now and the 2nd. Thanks, everybody. This is we'll send you out with something a little different. Christmas on Riverside Drive. The great kid Creole, August Darnell. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you next year.
Dark City Wizard.